What's up? It's a Cyclone Fanatic podcast presented by Exile Brewing Company, Stands and Fits. We had some name suggestions, finally.
We did.
From some listeners, but I don't think that we've really decided on one. But regardless, this is the Stands and Fits podcast brought to you by our friends at Exile Brewing Company. I've got my Ruthie. You got the Beatnik Sour.
Yep.
That's a new one. We don't have a review of that one yet on the podcast.
I don't think I've ever tried a sour beer before, so this is a new endeavor for me.
Yeah, I can safely say I've never had a sour beer before.
We'll see how it goes.
But I have had a Ruthie. I'm going to take a nice little drink. Yeah, it's real good, as always. So, as always, like I said, Exile Brewing Company, the sponsor of the Stands and Fits podcast on here on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast network. It's been a big day for Iowa State athletics. Had the commitment of 4-star wing Zion Griffin tonight. Talk about that a little bit more later on. Of course, we'll have a shitty beer review. Talk a little bit about Iowa State's loss to Iowa. Moving on to the Akron Zips, hot and not, and then our overlooked underdogs, of course, later on in the show as well. Starting it off, I want to say that we're doing this podcast completely. I mean, you've got your phone here. I don't have my phone. I still don't have internet in my apartment.
MediaCom is just wearing you down.
Media fraud is out here. They're taking my money. They're not getting me internet. I went all the way to Ingersoll today. Yesterday I was on the phone with them for 45 minutes on two different occasions. And on the second one, they said, well, you can go to Ingersoll to the office and you can trade in your router and get a new one. And I said, okay, what time does the Ingersoll office close? 6. It was 5:50. I was like, I don't know if you know where Ankeny's at, but I'm not getting to Ingersoll in the next 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'll just go tomorrow. Go today. Get my new router. Got it all set up before I went to availability. And I was on the phone with them and they said, okay, well, it should be set up when you get back home. But if it's not, call us. We'll get it figured out. It's not set up when I got back home. Surprise, surprise. I call them and they said, I was on the phone with them for 20 minutes. I was on the phone when you got here. And they told me, yeah, you're going to have to wait 24 hours. So after now close to 2.5 hours spent on the phone with MediaCom in the last 2 days, driving all the way to Ingersoll and back to get a new router, I have to wait another 24 hours to get internet again because media fraud is frauds.
MediaCom, whenever you see anything about them anywhere, it's just always people bagging on them.
Yeah.
And their customer service is apparently just terrible, and people are always having issues.
The first 3 people I've talked to, like, this is a bad thing. I've talked to 3 customer service people, 4 customer service people mm-hmm. at MediaCom. 3 of them were perfectly fine. The 4th one, I couldn't understand a single word she was saying. So when she said 24 hours, I was like, wait a second. What are you talking about here? Like, yeah. No, I'm not. Like, what do you mean 24 hours? And she's like, you got to wait 24 hours. Okay.
You figure if it's an equipment issue, you can come home, just plug it in, and it should be good to go.
Right. Especially if I literally walked into their office, and I said, they told me to bring this in here. And she's like, okay, you just need to trade in. She scanned it, put it on a shelf, grabbed a different one, scanned it, handed it to me. Here you go. And I said, I just got to plug it in. Yep, should be good to go. Nope. Not good to go.
Was it the same shelf that she pulled it from that she, like, threw your old one on?
Except this one was in plastic. So that's the only difference. I mean, and it's a different router. So maybe, I was on the phone with the first girl and I said, so what's the difference between my old router and this one? She said, I don't know what your old one was. And I was like, well, the old one looked, this doesn't matter. Like, that's completely beside the point. But the end of the story, the moral of the story, don't get MediaCom. Anybody out there that is moving to Ankeny, Iowa, considering their internet options, When I first moved here, I went into CenturyLink and I said, hey, what kind of internet options can I get? And I was like 1.5 megabytes. I wish I'd done it. I don't care if my internet would have been slower than a turtle. At least it would have been consistent.
Yeah. Well, like, the unfortunate thing is there's many parts of Iowa where MediaCom is the only option, and they have a monopoly on everything.
Yeah, well, that's about how it is in Clarinda. My parents can't even get MediaCom at their house. They have satellite internet because we live outside of town.
Yeah.
And MediaCom doesn't come outside of town. Mm-hmm. So then they have really bad internet.
They're roughing it out there.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's a wonder you can get so much work done when you're at home.
I can tell you that there has been a phone call made to DirecTV. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody that works at MediaCom is listening to this, but my options are now open. I have decommitted from MediaCom.
Respect his decision.
Yeah, yeah. I have requested a release from my national letter of intent from MediaCom, and I am in discussions with DirecTV to move my at least my TV needs.
We'll see if you get some strongly worded tweets from the MediaCom fans following your decommitment.
Oh, man. Please respect my decision. No interviews, please. That's the end of my rant. All right, so Iowa State losing to Iowa on Saturday. I don't know how you feel about the game. I guess I haven't really asked you yet, but I think you probably know how I feel at this point. I think that it's tough not to be encouraged from what we saw on Saturday.
Yeah, I felt like after the game, it sucks to lose to Iowa, of course, but I came away feeling that game, feeling like, you know, that Iowa State, they didn't get pummeled out there. They played a good game. It just happened to be that Iowa closed it out. And there's lots of talk everywhere this week about, well, this is a trend. Iowa State can't finish out games. But if you look at it, it's like last year Iowa beat us by 40 points.
Yeah.
So it's like from last year to this year, it's quite an improvement. So, I mean, I guess that part's encouraging for me, but I mean, for a lot of people, it's just another L.
Yeah. Well, that's what – I mean, it was discouraging to me, too. I felt good about the team after the loss. But then I tweet out something. I feel like you've got to feel good about this. And so many people are like, you're still 1-1. Still 1-1. Oh, my gosh, guys. We're 1-1. Yeah. What are we going to do? We're like, how are we going to put up with being 1-1?
Yeah.
You know, Iowa State's been 0-2 how many times?
Mm-hmm.
They were 1-1. 2 years ago, but oh my God, we're 1-1.
I know. Well, and the thing is, too, most people predicted that we go 2-1 in non-conference. It's just the problem is we had a chance to win that game.
Yeah,
and that's what sticks with people.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. It's like, well, they gave the game away. Yeah, I mean, they kind of did,
but they came back too. They
right.
punched back when Iowa took that 11-point lead.
There was also See the Iowa State before. When they're down 11 at halftime or right out of halftime, they're not coming back.
Mm-mm.
Like those last couple years of Paul Rhodes, that team's not coming back.
Mm-mm.
And I think that's the difference between this program. Lolo, get out from behind the couch.
This is your random Lolo interruption of the podcast that you're growing accustomed to, that you love so much.
Yeah. See, she just is a troublemaker. All right, but
she just wants love.
Yeah, so I think that it's tough to not feel good about the program after the game on Saturday. And I got an Uber to Ingersoll today, and the guy that picked me up, he pulls up in his white Ford Escape, and I look at the license plate, and it says Stomp Psy.
So that was a great ride.
Right. Guy was actually a really nice guy. Surprisingly,
did you tip him?
No, I don't think I did. But the guy I got a ride back from, I tipped him. But yeah, I mean, he picked me up and I said, so you're a Hawkeye fan? He was like, yeah, I'm a huge Hawkeye fan. He told me the story. He has a tattoo on his leg. I didn't see it, but this is what he told me. It's a Hawkeye stomping Psy. And that was the original thing. It was like, he's like curb stomping him. And then he said, but then I didn't feel like it was enough. So I went and got a rock put underneath Psy's head.
Oh.
So now he's stomping Psy's head onto a rock. And I was just like, oh, okay.
He's that kind of Hawkeye
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, so he's that kind of Hawkeye fan.
I was wondering if you were going to come out and say he was the... I know that there's a Hawk fan out there that has a Kirk Ferentz face on his calf, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I don't know. I can't say that it's not him.
He might be the other calf that has
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He did... I don't know if he had Go Hawkeyes on his belly, but he at least has Herky stomping Psy on his calf.
If you get him...
I should have got a picture of it, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, if you get him again, you'll have to ask him to show him your tattoo.
Yeah, but I did tell him that he was very impressed that I write for a website. See, he was a nice Hawkeye fan. He was like, I don't have a problem with Iowa State. He's like, you know, I don't like him when we play against him. I can tell you that this guy probably did not go to the University of Iowa. I will also say that. But he's like, I don't have a problem when we play against him. But all the rest of the weeks of the year, when they win, it's great for the state. Yeah. I was like, well, I really I like your perspective, man. Yeah. And so I was like, I was cool with him. But yeah, so like that's kind of where I was. He was like, I love the football game. I thought it was a great game.
It was an uber entertaining game.
Right. It was a really fun game.
Uber. Yeah. That was a little bit of a fun. I didn't realize I was going to do that, but that happened.
Good one. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that it's tough to – I think as a college football fan, and I think that people across the country that watch the game –
They came away impressed, I think.
Yeah. And that's telling to me – I said this on the Monday podcast with Rob. Lolo, don't go back there. It's telling to me to see Iowa State go up in the Athletics 1 through 130 rankings from 65 to 58, and they lost the game. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so all of a sudden, like, they're catching some eyes, obviously, if they're going to rise like that, regardless of the fact that they lost. And I know it sucks. Like, I know that the losing the game in the fashion that they lost the game sucks. But at the same time, they looked really good. The offense looked really good.
You can't come away watching that game and not realize that Iowa State has an awesome, besides the drops, the group of receivers is really good. David Montgomery is a budding star. And Jacob Park, obviously, he had a few missed throws. But overall, he's pretty talented. So,
yeah, he's really talented. And I think that he's only going to keep getting better.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to be expected to play. No, go away. So, now, turning the page, I think that pretty much everything that can possibly be said about the Cy-Hawk game has been said at this point. But turning the page now to the Akron Zips, 1-1, 52-0 loss to Penn State. See, how impressive is it to lose 52-0 and your point disparity on the season is still only 55-52?
Yeah, because they came back and won their next game by a lot, didn't
they? Yeah, 52-3.
Yeah.
So they've given up 52 points and they've scored 52 points in consecutive games.
It's impressive.
That is very impressive, if you ask me.
That's a cyclone-esque in a way. Just so inconsistent.
Yeah, definitely. But Arkansas Pine Bluff actually is like the worst FCS team in the country.
That would explain the massive turnaround.
Yeah, Rob Gray, he's a big FCS guy because he used to cover you and I. So he's like always, anytime that we talk about an FCS team, he's like, oh yeah, they're not very good. He just always knows. And he looked it up, and the team that they played was some D2 team that's not any good. Like Arkansas Pine Bluff in their first game, they're down 10-0 at the end of the third quarter and had to come back to win their first game against this D2 team.
Wow.
And then they played Akron in week two and got beat 52-3.
Sad.
Yeah. But Terry Bowden is the coach of the Akron
Zips.
That's
right. Is he the son of Bobby Bowden?
Yeah, he is. I don't know if he's the oldest one, but there's Terry, Tommy, and I don't know what the third one is. He's the third Bowden. Both of them have been D1 head football coaches. Mm-hmm. So Tommy was the coach at Clemson before Dabo. Dabo got the job after Tommy Bowden got fired.
Was Clemson really bad at one point?
They were kind of average.
Okay.
Because I remember I think it was when they had CJ Spiller, and they had another running back that was pretty good too, like at the same time. And then he got fired in the middle of the year and Dabo came in. And then I think they played Nebraska in a bowl game.
Mm.
I remember this now. My mom and dad went to the game. It was a Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. And it was Bo Pelini's first year. It was also Dabo Sweeney's first year as Clemson's head coach. And it was because he took over for Tommy Bowden.
Gotcha.
So I brought that all back full circle for you. But
there you go. I know so much about Clemson now.
Yeah, there you go. But Akron, I don't know. I don't remember if you've ever played the mascot mashup.
I did.
On NCAA football.
Oh, yeah.
Zippy was he is at the same time the cuddliest and the stupidest looking mascot besides the artichoke in collegiate sports.
I pulled Zippy up on my phone because I had to see this for myself. And yeah, it's like it's got a big nose and it looks like a kangaroo, but it looks so cuddly.
That is what they are.
They're the kangaroos.
I was gonna say, why don't they just be the kangaroos? Like, why do they want to be the Zips?
Well, how intimidating is a kangaroo?
How intimidating is a Zip? That's the least intimidating mascot I've ever seen in my life.
Zip sounds
it's so
much
fat,
more.
Dude. Like, that's what I always thought about when I saw him on NCAA football. I was like, that is the fattest mascot.
Well, you can't be a lightweight kangaroo, otherwise, they battle by jumping and doing their leg kicks. So if you got some weight on you, then you're gonna be more intimidating kangaroo. That's just logic right there.
He's a heavyweight kangaroo in the heavyweight weight class.
Yep. He's no Floyd No Floyd Mayweather.
No, for sure. Yeah, so Zippy, I don't know. Cy would definitely beat that mascot's ass, though.
Agreed.
I don't know if you saw my story. I do that know your opponent thing every week. And I wrote the one today about Akron. And I listened to Terry Bowden on the MAC teleconference, which I can promise you they don't have very many reporters calling into the Mid-American Conference teleconference.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Peterson was the only person who called in to ask Terry Bowden any questions besides the Mid-American Conference media relations people. And I was waiting to get – I wanted to see his, like, actual Akron press conference, but then I watched another one, and I'm pretty sure his press relations person just asked him questions the whole time, and then they called that a press conference.
That's poor him.
Poor form. Yeah. Poor form by the Zips. But he called – So I was doing research on Terry Bowden, and I was reading his Wikipedia page. I actually, this was brought to my attention by Ted Flint and Tom Danielson of the Tailgate Society during their Victory Shots podcast. I don't know if anybody listened to that, but they did a lot of shots, so I'll say that.
Got crazy.
Yeah, and Terry Bowden used to call, he was on TV in the 90s after he got fired at Auburn. He called his dad, Bobby, Daddy.
Nah.
On TV.
Just a grown man calling his dad Daddy?
Yes.
That's embarrassing.
That's an analyst. Like, this is an analyst that's supposed to be analyzing college football, and
oh,
he's calling his father, who is a head football coach at Florida State, Daddy.
So he's supposed to try and be neutral, and then he does that.
Yes.
That's sad.
That's really sad.
Lots of sad things happening.
Yeah.
With this.
Akron, just not coming out very strong.
Mm-mm.
But it gets better. Because he got asked him about Matt Campbell, and he called him Todd. He said, oh, yeah, I know their coach. And then he called him Todd.
Obviously knows him super well.
Right. And the first time I heard it, I was like, wait a second. I was like, he could not have said that. And I ran it back, and I was like, he called him Todd. Like, what the hell?
Like, is there another coach, like, named Todd that he would have got mixed up with Campbell or something like that? I don't know, but that's just out of left field.
I mean, Tim Beckman was the Toledo coach before him, and now Toledo's coach's name is Jason.
So not
no,
Todd.
No, definitely no Todd, like, involved there at all.
Well, here he got it right. It's M-A-T-T, and it's T-O-D-D. That's kind of similar in a way.
I mean, yeah, he's got the right number of vowels, and he's got a double
consonant.
A double consonant at the end. Yeah, I guess if you want to say that that's he's got it right, then yeah, he's got it right.
If we're being really, really nice, then he got it right.
Yeah, it's just you just need to step up your game a little bit in the teleconference there, Terry.
Yeah, do your research.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else to say about the Akron Zips, to be completely honest.
I expect us to win pretty easily. I think it's going to be a 3-touchdown Iowa State win at least.
Yeah, 10. The line's at 10 now. That's like...
That seems really low.
That's a slam dunk to me. Yeah. I don't see... Unless Akron can control the ball for like 30 minutes of the game, 40 minutes of the game, I don't see any way that Iowa State doesn't put up 40 points.
See, I know that Iowa State's offense isn't Penn State, but at the same time, if Penn State can put up 50 on this
team... And
they
would have put up 70 if they'd wanted to.
Yeah. I would expect that Iowa State scores at least 40, and I would hope that their defense could hold them to at least 20.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
At most 20.
Yeah, so I mean, I think they'll win that game relatively easy.
Yep.
Hot and not. You want to start or you want me to start?
How about you start?
All right, hot. Behind the scenes college football shows. We had Hard Knocks. We had Last Chance U. We had the show that's on Amazon Prime about the Cardinals. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. I could have looked it up, but I wasn't that worried about it at the time. Now, Jim Harbaugh has his own television show, Unscripted, coming to Amazon Prime this winter. I am so hyped, dude. I cannot wait to get behind the scenes with Jim Harbaugh. I'm going to listen to Attack every day, and I'm going to watch Unscripted. I promise it to everybody.
What are you most excited about, like, about Jim Harbaugh? What do you want to learn the most about him?
I want to know what time Jim Harbaugh goes to bed. And what time Jim Harbaugh wakes up in the morning. Because I feel like if there's more than 2 hours of sleeping in Jim Harbaugh's standard day, I would be really surprised.
Well, yeah, it's either that or he gets like 10 hours of sleep a night. He's probably methodical about it either way.
No way. That guy's watching, and I guarantee he has his iPad on his nightstand. He goes to sleep watching film.
You think
he wakes up in the morning watching film?
He probably has like a projector above his bed, like just up there so he can look at it, game film, like every waking second.
Most people have like the stars or like a clock that projects the thing, like the time onto the ceiling. Jim Harbaugh has game film projected onto the ceiling of his bedroom, guaranteed.
And
that's what I'm excited for Unscripted.
Beside his bedstand, I'm sure he has some warm milk there when he goes to bed.
I also want to know how his players react to him, like in practice. They probably won't really show a true reaction, but I cannot imagine that. Like, how would his players just got to be like, this guy is crazy.
Mm-hmm. You got to be a specific kind of personality to want to play for Jim Harbaugh, I think. But if you are that type of personality and you do go to play for Michigan, you're going to be all in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're definitely all in. Yeah, like, I don't think there's any way to be but all in if you go to Michigan.
Yeah.
All right. So that's my hot. Football behind-the-scenes shows.
We'll eagerly await the Harbaugh.
I'm very excited.
Okay. So for my hot and not this week, I kind of cheated because they are both directly related. So my hot is Baker Mayfield putting the flag at midfield after winning in the horseshoe. And my not is Baker Mayfield apologizing after putting the flag at midfield in the horseshoe. So, obviously, the apology was a clear PR move.
Yeah.
Someone somewhere told him to do that to save face because it was just a bad look. But I loved it personally. Like I thought it was
awesome.
It was, and what made it even funnier was their field is turf, and you can't like actually plant it.
Yeah, and it fell down so quick.
Yeah, it did.
I want this to be a tradition everywhere. Mm-hmm. Every team when they should lose, if you lose at home, you should have to stand there and watch the opposing quarterback plant the flag at midfield.
Like how jacked and like mad would that make you?
Right. Everybody would want to protect home field all the time.
Yeah.
Like, there would never be there would be riots over the home field battles.
You would go to some major extents to defend that home field turf.
Exactly. I can guarantee you that Ohio State will probably not lose at home again this season.
No. Well, that's because they're really good.
Well, I don't know. I'm not so sure after I watched them on Saturday.
That's true. They've got some secondary issues, that's for sure.
JT wasn't very good either.
Mm-mm.
That goes right into my not. There was several recruits that were taken to the Twitter sphere to criticize JT Barrett and Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer. Most specifically, five-star defensive end Micah Parsons. He tweeted that JT Barrett should be benched, essentially. And now the rumor is that he will no longer be allowed to go to Ohio State.
Unshockingly.
Yeah.
I would not want, like, if you did something like that on an official visit, that should be automatic. You're not going to get the scholarship here.
It's funny to me that Ohio State is so good at recruiting that a five-star, like, top 10 prospect in the country, he tweets out that he doesn't like the quarterback, who won't be there, by the way, when this kid gets to campus. Yeah, we don't want you anymore.
See, that's the thing. Like, you have to wonder, if Matt Campbell was recruiting a five-star and he did the exact same thing about, like, Jacob Park, would he be like, he's a five-star, I'll just look past it? Or would he be like, this culture that I'm trying to build, he's not going to let that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I would be pissed if I was an Iowa State fan. He's like, no, that five-star can't come here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure, coach?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Ohio State gets four-star recruits in their sleep.
Right. It's like, well, I mean, he wasn't wrong. Like, you know, like, I'm not justifying it, but he wasn't, you know, JT didn't play very well. So
it's just something that you have to
probably just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. You have to censor yourself on social media.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. I'm not mad about it. If Michael Parsons ends up with a different program, specifically one with an N on the side of their helmets, I won't be too disappointed about it. I promise you that.
The N for knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You already said you're not.
I did.
Overlooked underdogs. Who do you got?
My overlooked underdog this week, and I have to mention that I think we're 3-1 on the year now.
Yeah, I missed Stanford.
No, you got Stanford, didn't you?
Did Stanford win?
Stanford won, I'm pretty sure.
They're getting smacked. Okay, they definitely didn't win. They were getting smacked the last time I saw.
Let me look at this. Stanford football.
Isn't that who I picked?
Yeah, you picked Stanford over USC.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they won.
I thought they got beat.
Maybe they did.
I was going to say, if I was right this
Oh, you're right.
They were getting beat pretty bad when the last time I looked. But so we're 2-2.
Yep, we're 2-2.
It's still respectable because we're picking underdogs only.
Yep, so last week I got Oklahoma correct over Ohio State. So this week I'm going with Arizona State over Texas Tech. Now, this game's in Lubbock, but Arizona State won last year, and this is the first real test of the year for Texas Tech's defense. So, you know, they lost a lot on defense.
Is it a real test? I don't think I could name a single player that plays for Arizona State.
I mean, it's the first Power 5 program that they play this year, right?
Yeah, I suppose so.
In my opinion, that's the first real test. They're going to have Power 5 athletes out there.
I think that I'm just this is clearly unrelated, but I think that we should name – like the knots of our hot knots should be the Baylor honorary hot knot, like the knots. Because every single week I think Baylor could be in the knots. This just kind of came to my
head. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. We could have picked Baylor easily last 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. Lose to Liberty, lose to UTSA.
They are so bad.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they're so bad.
And I saw something that it was like Baylor is really bad, but Matt Rhule isn't deterred or something like that. I was like, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he's really not deterred by those losses to UTSA and Liberty.
That's the front he'll put out in public. But in reality, behind the scenes, he's probably sweating bullets right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's probably just hoping that they still have a football program in 2 years.
Exactly.
At this point.
Yeah.
All right, my overlooked underdog. Louisville is a 3-point dog to Clemson, who coming off a big win over Auburn at home. I know why they're a dog, but I still think Louisville is pretty good still. They still have the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yep.
I would not be at all surprised to see them win this game. And then they'll be right back in the top five. And that's just how it goes. You know, you beat one top five team, now you're in the top five.
Well, I don't know. Being that I'm a huge Clemson guy now that from that speech you gave earlier, I'm not sure that this is going to happen, man. Clemson's just so good.
It's just a big weekend for the Bowden family.
I mean, Lamar Jackson is pretty talented, though, and he's looking like he's going to be definitely a Heisman front runner again this year.
I don't know. I think it's Baker's to lose at least this week.
Yeah.
I mean, we always – every single week it's like –
well, I saw like –
whoever has the best week this week is going to be number one. But
ESPN moved him up to like their Heisman favorite, I think, after
– Baker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So – and it's kind of surprising to me because like every time you think about ESPN and the Big 12, you think they're just going to like dog on the Big 12. But I think that performance – on the biggest stage, you kind of can't ignore that.
Well, obviously. I mean, it's Ohio State.
Yeah.
ESPN loves Ohio State.
Yeah, they have
Kirk.
Huge boners for
Ohio
State.
Well, it was like funny when they were losing to Indiana. Kirk's like, oh, Indiana. These are the best receivers Ohio State's going to play all year.
Yeah.
And
oh, my gosh. Okay.
I don't know about that, you know.
Yeah. Did you watch the Iowa State broadcast at all?
No.
Oh, my gosh. The color commentator was so pro-Iowa. It made me throw up. Obviously, you can't comment on it, but he was, like, just dogging on Jacob Park.
No, I mean, I'll talk about whatever the hell I want.
It was just appalling to me, because, like...
It wasn't Ed, was it?
I don't know who it was.
It probably wasn't Ed. He was on the call with Dolph.
But, I mean, it's just, like, try to contain your Big Ten bias, man. I hate being, like, the guy to dog on, like, commentators, but it was, like, overly clear.
Well, I was getting ready for CFTV today with Jeff Woody, and... I was getting the clips for the show, and I was playing the highlights from ESPN, and he's like, is that Gus Johnson?
Mm-mm.
I was like, no. Johnson definitely doesn't work for ESPN. This is like a knockoff Gus Johnson.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that guy yells a lot.
Gus Johnson is his idol.
I guess. I mean,
Are you a Gus Johnson fan?
Yeah, I love
Gus Johnson. I love Gus Johnson,
yeah,
too.
Gus Johnson's
some,
the best.
Some people hate him, but I think he makes the game more exciting.
Well, it's funny when he's calling, like, a, you know, random Thursday night game between Oregon State and Boise or something. And it's like he's getting so hyped.
Yeah.
Like to Gus Johnson, the biggest game of the week is the game that he's calling. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Number one Alabama could be playing number two Clemson in a regular season game. And to him, the game of the week would be UCLA and Stanford.
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock on a Friday night. 10 o'clock Central Time,
yep.
So like 11 o'clock East. He would be so lit.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even be funny.
And he's great on football calls, but
yeah.
I think for me, like he's even better when he calls like NCAA tournament games a couple years ago.
Oh,
like, he makes every shot, like especially when it's a close game coming down the wire and teams are trading blows, he makes every shot so exciting.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, most Rise people, like most people, don't really care. Like, if he was calling an Iowa State game, that would probably get a little bit old.
Yeah.
But when it's like in the NCAA tournament, most times you don't really care.
No, you don't care about the two teams that are playing. It's kind of just like a on the other side of the bracket kind of thing.
Right. Like, you're just watching for fun, and then it's like you're just like, oh, I'm Gus. Let's go, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a huge game.
Hell
dude.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. This is an 8-9 matchup in the Midwest region. Let's go, Gus. Come on.
You're getting all hyped.
Yeah. All right, let's finish this off with our bad beer.
Okay.
On the Stans and Fitz podcast presented by Exile. Got my Ruthie. It's going down smooth. It has been a long day, guys. I've just been dealing with all this stuff at MediaCom, and I really needed this. And now I don't think that I need this as much, but I'm going to get it anyway.
So
tell us what we got.
Yeah, this week's beer, we went with the old Ice House. So on the front says ice brewed for a bolder taste, which is like the most generic thing you could say about a beer ever.
Plank Road Brewery.
5.5% alcohol volume. And we both got 24 ounces again. So
this is like, so Milwaukee's Best is shitty beer. Mm. This is like a shitty version of Milwaukee's Best. I think.
Again, this is another beer that I haven't had, but you told me that you had tried it before?
No, I've never tried this in my life.
Well, I figured...
There's a restaurant in Clarinda called the Ice House.
Oh?
And they... I don't know if they still do, but they used to have a sign that said Ice House. And when I was younger, I didn't know that was a beer. I thought that it was just for this. But now I know that it's a beer, and I've never tried the beer. That's the only thing that I've ever known about Ice House.
So this is taking you back to Clarinda in a way.
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
And I should point out that this, I double-checked the price of Steel Reserve that we had last week. Steel Reserve for a 24-ounce can was $1.89 IV, and this is $2.19. So slightly...
Oh, so this should be higher quality in theory.
Theoretically, it should be.
It has less alcohol, so I'm not sure that... I don't know what that means.
And I bought this thinking, you know, ice, we got to have a beer that contends with the Natty Ice for the worst beer.
Yeah.
So we'll
see
how it
is. This will probably
be
up there.
Yeah.
We got to try Keystone Ice at some time. And then I can tell you about my Keystone Ice Stanley Cup that I had.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's a story for another day. Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Oh, my God.
Oh. That taste is the worst we've had
yet. That's really bad,
dude.
That
is really bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
ooh.
You know, I can stomach a lot of beers, but that is a sour aftertaste.
Yeah. I swallowed that, and it's like that just hits you. And
it does.
Oh, yeah, that's good, dude.
I'm not going to take another sip of that. That is gag worthy. That is easily the worst beer. Like, we've only tried three at this point, but that is the worst by far. So on our scale, what do you give it?
I don't know.
I believe we gave the...
I have to take another drink just for
you're more
for the integrity of the process.
Mm-hmm.
I trust the process. I'm gonna.
You're braver than I am. Joke. That's a bitter beer face.
That's really not good, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's. All right. So we talked last week about our different factors. Taste, smell.
Aftertaste.
And the way your...
Mouth feels.
My mouth does not feel good.
Mm-mm.
Don't feel refreshed. I can safely say that.
Mm-mm.
Taste, this is as low as you can get on the beer totem pole with taste, yep. I would say.
And I feel like it's just the same with aftertaste as well.
Yeah. I'm going to give this on the bad beer scale. So Rob and I were talking about this. What? This is another tangent. But Rob and I were talking about this one night. We were at we were grabbing some beers, and it's like what? I feel like on the bad beer scale, to get to a beer that you would maybe drink like normally, 7, 8
yeah.
Like on the bad beer scale. That's what I was thinking. I was like, if it's a 10, like it doesn't belong on the scale.
Mm.
But if it's like a 7 or an 8, that's like your Coors Lights.
Yeah.
Your
Probably.
I'm not going to talk about my beloved Blue Tasties.
Light. Bud Light.
It does not belong on the scale. It's a 20 on the bad beer scale. Bud Light, Miller Light, like those kind.
Yeah.
Maybe Miller Light, not in that category. But
I know Ted Flint hates Miller Light.
Yeah. But this beer right here gets a negative 3.2.
Really?
On the bad beer.
You're going negative?
If I never took another drink of Ice House beer in my life again, I would not be missing anything.
I agree with you. For me, I'm not going to go negative, but it's like a 0.4. It is really bad.
Yeah, like that might be the worst beer I've ever tasted in my life.
It's easily the worst beer that I've ever tasted. And I mean, I haven't tasted a whole lot of crappy beers, but that is by far the worst.
If you're out there and you have not only drank an Ice House beer,
enjoyed
it for 24 ounces. 24 ounces of Ice House beer and you drank the whole can, I commend you, sir.
You're not human.
No, you're like David Montgomery. You're the David Montgomery of beer drinkers.
Except on the opposite end. You're like the anti-David Montgomery, equally as bad.
This analogy got weird. But the moral story, don't drink Ice House. Drink some Exile. I mean, that's why these beers taste so bad, is because we've been drinking good beer.
That's right.
All right, let's close the show. Let's talk a little bit about Zion Griffin. Number 58 player in the class. Obviously, a huge pickup.
Big. I expect him. I would think that his talent will let him probably play minutes his freshman year for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say so. And I think that that's going to be a pretty talented roster next year.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have a bunch of talent. They're going to have Wigginton. They're going to have
Terrence Lewis,
Cameron Lard.
Mariel Shayok. Michael Jacobson.
Yep.
Yeah, there's gonna be some dudes on that team.
I would think that Zion Griffin would be Mariel Shayok's kind of backup.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put together kind of a scouting report. This Ice House has me like all frazzled, right? all my thought process is off now. We got to start including the headache after, like we talked about with the Natty Ice, like an hour later I had a headache. We might have to start including that.
The pod after the pod.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is just a huge pickup for Iowa State, and I mean, it was kind of out of nowhere. Like, he was on a visit this weekend, but I definitely didn't see this coming.
Mm-hmm.
It just...
It's really exciting. Like, it's awesome to get a great point guard like Lindell Wigginton, but for me, it's like, it's even more exciting when you get those athletic wing prospects, because you know that they have a bunch of upside.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to be a really good player. And, well, I talked to him, too, for about 5 minutes, and he seems like a good kid. I mean,
that's good.
Just in those few minutes I talked to him, and not taking any more visits. You know, I had a visit scheduled for Kansas later this month.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely something that Iowa State fans should be really pleased about. So, I told you before, we didn't have a bad beer. I've been all over the place today. I didn't have time to go get a bad beer.
Mm-hmm.
But I told you that we were going to celebrate Zion. This is how we're going to end the podcast, by celebrating with a Zion Griffin shotgun.
Yep.
And we were going to crack the beers, and then that was going to be the end of the podcast. But instead, we're going to cheers. We're going to take one more big old drink of Ice House.
Oh, no.
And that's going to be the end of the Stands and Fits podcast, brought to you by Exile.
Dink. Goodbye.
Beat the Zips.